All right.
Anyway, all right, it's 9 o'clock.
I think I'm ready.
Right, yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do this.
You know what, some intros. Right, here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 547 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is October 6th, 2019. And if you are unfamiliar with the Overseas Connection podcast, we are a gaming-focused podcast, but we are not exclusively set to gaming. We talk about sports, we talk about life, just whatever is happening in our lives. We like to think of ourselves as more mature, more wise, but the realities are we are just a bunch of children in old bodies. All right. My name, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law. I am your host guiding you through your journey today. On the podcast today, we have a couple fine chaps from overseas, over the other side of the pond, starting with the most northern-ish of the two, Mr. Robin Tate.
That's me. Northern-ish.
You are more northern
than... Yeah, I suppose I am.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a bit...
I looked at a map. I looked at a map. You're slightly northern than he is.
Right.
Yeah. Not much.
Not much, but yeah, slightly. Yeah.
I need to check this now.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's definitely colder. Definitely colder here. Hi, it's Robin here. I'm in Ballymena, Windy City. Cold. The fire was lit today. Hiya. We're back on the podcast again. This is the start of an epic 2 to 3 weeks of events for this podcast and for gaming in the UK. With EGX coming up and so many Americans and Canadians and Irish folk and English folk all coming together for one big cup to be filled.
The invasion is real.
Get through awesome. Tonight and that's the start of it.
Awesome. Thank you, Robin. We are going to talk a lot about what's going to be happening, so we'll get to that in a moment. Also on the show today, our map editing guru, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello. Yes, Robin is more northerly than me. I'll give him that. So, yeah. Only just, but yeah. Well, quite a bit, actually. Hello. I'm back. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Simple, to the point. Hello. I'm back.
Again.
All right. If you are listening to this for the first time, thank you very much. Please, by all means, subscribe on Stitcher, on iTunes, if you're listening to it from an audio side, if you happen to come across us on Twitch, on Mixer, on YouTube, by all means, subscribe there as well. We would love to have you follow us and take part live every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. So pretty much we try to cover the bases and make it accessible to everybody with reasonable times. Even if you're in Australia right now, you're waking up in the morning with a cup of Joe and you're thinking, okay, it's time to start my work day, but I can listen to this fine podcast live.
Breakfast with us three. What more do you want? Maybe a bacon, egg, and beans.
skip the beans, but the bacon and eggs. Yes, absolutely. All right. I want to shout out to Eric Kapp, a new Twitch follower. Thank you for following us there. And VMLRPC, Velmer PC, maybe? I don't know. Following us on Podbean. Thank you for that.
Velmer!
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some birthday announcements. People do get older, as evidenced by me last week. We have Bonnie Gardner having a birthday on Wednesday, I believe 21. Right, Mark, thank you for that. Thank you for muting that. And then Tom Pedro, White Peds, he actually is turning 72 on Friday. Amazing.
Wouldn't believe it, would you?
Yeah, amazing, Tom. Congratulations. Also, he has a little one. Just so as old as he is, he's still pumping them out. It's amazing. Incredible talk.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yep, yep. Congratulations. And we have just for you this lovely little jingle.
It's in a fart ship.
Agreed. Caught me mid-swallow.
You'll be saying that next week.
Yep, yep, exactly.
Not next Sunday, though. Right. Next Monday.
Well, I suppose, Robin, we should talk about your story time first. So should we do some story time? Let's do some story time, Mark.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Now, Robin, we have a lot of plans happening, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things happening for EGX.
The less biggest plans than I thought.
Yeah. The biggest plan right now, the one that we have to be most cognizant of, is when I actually get to Ireland. I fly into Dublin next Monday. The 14th. I fly out on Sunday the 13th, but unfortunately the Concorde is no longer in service, so my flight is actually quite lengthy compared to what it could have been.
So to explain, not less than 15 minutes ago, I thought Greg was flying into Ireland on Sunday morning at 11:30, and I had my son, Charlie, he was coming with me, and we were going to collect Greg at the airport on Sunday and go up past Trim Castle and get up home and have a nice evening because he was going to be tired. And I've made a boo-boo. We've been talking around the houses and I got that wrong. So it's Monday you come in. You're with me Monday. Tuesday you fly to London on Wednesday.
Right.
So you're going to have a very active day on Monday because things are planned.
No, and I am planning on sleeping a lot on my flight to come in fresh, as a daisy. There's one thing
you
I can do.
You have to bring your swimwear.
Yes, I've been told. I can't hot tub naked, apparently. That was the original plan, for the record. Because I remember the hot tub. I was prepared, but okay, I'll bring the swimsuit. That's fine.
It was quite odd because Judith said, like, make sure that Greg brings swimwear. And the Jolly Ranchers I could understand, but the swimwear, not so much. So, look, thoroughly looking forward to you coming, whether it's Sunday or Monday. It's one less day with Greg. But we're going to have a great time while you're here. There are things planned. So you're not coming to my work with me on Monday morning now. So that's a challenge because I have got that site meeting to attend. Anyway, I'll work that one out as we go along. What else? So things are going to happen. You're going to see stuff in Ireland. You're going to see stuff about Game of Thrones and Titanic. Right. You're going to do stuff in your swimwear. You're going to have some family time. You're going to do some babysitting so Judith and I can go out.
That's what I figured. That's right. I thought the reality was happening there. Uncle Greg will be watching you.
So then we fly. I drop you at the airport on Wednesday morning, and you fly off to meet Mike Chin.
Yes,
and hopefully he has the right day, and he'll come and pick you up with your little case and your. I'm going to put a little sign around you with some string and a little notepad like Paddington, and he's going to pick you up at the airport with some marmalade sandwiches, and he's going to show you London-y stuff. No, I heard him talking, and we're chatting about this about the Buckingham Palace is boring, and the Shard is just a building. So I think he's going to bring you to Soho and all those strip clubs.
But
and stuff
again,
there, so.
Now we're talking. But it's boring. I think when you live there, when I think about San Francisco, I think about Alcatraz and things like that. I'm like, it's a touristy thing. But when you experience your first time, sorry for knocking the mic. That's exciting. So
yeah, of course,
I can't wait to look at one of the Royal Guards, the Royal Marines, in their giant tall bearskin hats, and I won't attempt to try and make them smile or crack anything.
Don't stand
like
in
that.
Front of him. Make way for the Queen's Guard. They'll shove you out of the way. Or they'll point the gun at you. Yeah, don't fuck with them guys.
No. So that's a great experience. London is beautiful, and it's great to see all those things that you're familiar with. Just like when we go to San Francisco, we know the Golden Gate Bridge, we know Alcatraz because we know the hill with the and the road with the twisty bits and stuff like that. We know that because we've seen it so much, but it's nice to see it in the flesh.
Seeing it in person is different. So then,
after a couple of days with Mike, EGX starts. Now, EGX starts on Thursday. I don't think you'll be at EGX on Thursday. Maybe, but unlikely. And then most people come on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
I fly then over on Friday morning with my son Joshua, and we meet you at the big hall, and we go and do lots of EGX things. And EGX is shaping up nicely. Lots of really good stuff appearing now. Lots of good stuff to do. Lots of decent games to see and lots of good indie stuff. Well, I'm going to have fun there. But that's a byproduct of this event. The event is the people. And the people that are coming, not to take away from you, Greg, but we have Mark and his son Jay and Pilch and Robin Brown and Chris MJW and Stu and Mike and Pete Chin and Daniel and Lewis and Robert and Seth McNitt and Amras and Hardly Dan all
Antonio
coming.
Phillips, I mean, there's a lot of people.
Antonio, a lot of people. So after the show on Friday evening, a good lot of us, there's about 18 people so far. We're going up to escape rooms down in the Docklands. We're going to try and escape.
I'm actually looking forward to that almost as much as, and maybe even more so than EGX, because I think it's going to be fun. The competition, you know, making sure I don't get saddled with a bunch of knobheads.
You're going to be pissed.
I've been in an escape room before. I know what to expect. Yeah.
Have you been in an escape room pissed?
No, that not completely drunk, a little buzzed, but not completely drunk, which that will make for an amusing time, no doubt.
So after that, we're going to go back to, we've got a big house booked, and we're going to go back there, and the switches are going to come out, and we're going to, or games, or whatever it may be, or the drink's going to come out, and we're going to have a bit of crack and a bit of fun, and chat to the wee small R's, I'm sure.
Right.
And then Saturday off to the show, and on Saturday evening, we're going to a restaurant, and anybody that wants to come along to these things, please contact me at Bungo the Sane. We can still, there's still time, but contact me quickly before the end of next week, which is, please, if you want to come to these things, contact me by the 12th, please, next Saturday, absolute latest. Okay, and then so we're going to a big Mexican restaurant. We're going to have fun there. There's the guts of 30 people at the moment, and any more that wants to come along, please come along. We're going to have a raffle there. We're going to give away some prizes, and we're going to try and raise a wee bit of money for charity just while we're at it as well. And that should be good fun. Not the opportunity to play lots of games at it, but just good crack like we had last year. Great conversation, great laughs. Yeah. And and that's in Canary Wharf, which is, again, you're sightseeing again, Greg. Canary Wharf. So
I've never been to Canary Wharf.
Mark, you and I will be taking lots of pictures and sightseeing.
Lived in the UK 49 years, never seen the Shard in real life.
Really?
Yeah. I've been to London a couple of times, but they've all been like quick fleeting visits. So I've done a bit of sightseeing years ago, but not much. Went to the National History Museum and Houses of Parliament, all that crap, but yeah.
Well, the escape rooms, the Mexican restaurant for the food fight, it's in Canary Wharf. The escape rooms are in Docklands, where EGX is.
Real fun. It strikes me just odd, and I don't know why, but going to the UK and having Mexican food is just such a funny thing in my head, because to me, Mexican food is almost synonymous with like burgers and fries here in the US. I mean, it is like a especially out on the West Coast. It's very much a staple of like the U.S. Cheap. I don't know why. I don't know why.
I don't know. So, and honestly, I don't know. I don't know how it's came about. I really don't. I think because I mean, my family and I don't go to lots of Mexican restaurants here at home.
Right.
But it's just almost turned into tradition now at EGX Eurogamer that we ended up the last 4 or 5 years having burritos or whatever it may be. And it's almost just, it's not that it's my favorite food ever. It's a tradition now. And generally, it's not the most expensive meal, and it's messy and fun, and it's not terribly formal, and it's a bit better than pizza, I suppose. So,
well, you know, pizza's so cliche, right? So yeah. I love the fact that we're doing Mexican. Don't get me wrong. Love it, but it strikes me funny just because I associate the UK with fish and chips, warm beer for whatever dumb reason in my head. You guys all drink warm beer. And blood pudding.
Blood pudding, no.
Yeah.
Nobody calls it blood pudding.
Yeah. I do, just because I like the visual in my head.
So this is your first time. So is there anything, that you really want to see in London? I mean, bugger Ireland, but what about in England?
Okay, so to be honest, Robin, the thing I want to see most is actually in Ireland. You know precisely what I'm talking about. It's a little trim goes a long way. But in London, I think I'm most excited to see the very special historical monument known as Mark Wright.
I am a large monument.
Well, okay. Well, that's definitely going to happen.
I'll be landing there about 4 p.m. Friday, Greg.
Yeah.
You'll probably still be inside EGX.
Possibly. I think meeting up with all of the guys, and it's not just Mark. I mean, Mark, you are definitely the highlight in terms of who I'm meeting. And I probably would have said the same thing if it was not you on the podcast and Pete on the podcast, but, pay no attention to that. I've met Robin. I've met Mike Chin before. So, whatever. But it is the people. At the end of the day, it's making this – it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me. So I'm super thrilled for that part. So outside of that, go to see the Shard.
I love yous all. I love yous all. I have to say that I'm really, really looking forward to squeezing Fraser. Fraser.
I honestly didn't think I would ever get a chance to meet in person. Yeah, that he's coming, I'm like, I could not be more excited. Seth, I thought I would never meet.
Seth as well, and Amras,
Gary Amras. Yeah.
Fraser has a small place in my heart that I'm looking forward to that. I just imagine Fraser being really small, like he's about 4'2". And Amras as well, about like 3'4". He strikes me as being small.
I don't think I've ever seen a picture of Amras. Fraser obviously, to me, he has a slight build to him, at least in my,
he's a
in
pipe.
My head. Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
Oh, that's a dog. That's a dog.
But I definitely have my visuals of what people will look like in my head. And then obviously it's totally different. Except for you, Robin, you were precisely what I expected.
Okay. So that's great. We're all looking forward to that stuff that is at the show, which I'm looking forward to. There's this experience thing called, maybe you talked about it last week, Mark, the Dark Room. It looks brilliant fun. So it's an auditorium. There's people get up onto the stage. It's like an adventure game, turn left, turn right, and the audience could get dragged along with it. Big visuals. So that looks brilliant fun. There's a Cyberpunk 2077 experience whatever it is. I don't know. I mean, it could be a theater like Mafia years gone by.
Right.
Then when we talked about some of the big games last week, but some of the smaller stuff, like there's Beyond a Steel Sky, is there, with Beneath Revolution. That looks kind of good. If you remember that classic game, Beneath the Steel Sky. So, that's a sort of long way, probably 30 years in the making. Beyond Blue, which we seen last year, Mark, which is the BBC underwater thing. It's out now, I believe, or playable. And then there's lovely little things like Cake Bash, which is very cute dodgeball, beat 'em up in a circle. Remember, there was a thing there a few years ago which I really loved. And then Everspace 2021, Kung Fu Jesus, Streets of Rage 4, which people are raving about. And Aero 2, which is a favorite of yours, Mark.
Yeah. I saw the tweet on that, and I posted it up, and Greg was really excited because he didn't have a clue what it was.
I am excited for that, Mark. I will actually play this one.
Right. You still not played the first one, have you?
No.
Oh, obvious cannon, man.
Oh, it's so good.
So after that, all the little smaller games, then you go to the really small games in this. We used to call it the smelly section, like smell of BO. It's like a tunnel, smelly tunnel. But it's got better each year. They call it the left field.
Left field, yeah.
And there's this thing I want to see this year. It's called Across the Grooves. It's exploring music, existentialism, and destiny in a game. Okay. Okay. The Things We Lost in the Flood. If you can look it up, Mark, it looks brilliant. The Things We Lost in the Flood. It's like less than 8-bit. It's like 2-bit. It looks brilliant. Then they've got this big, massive esports stage. There is Capcom Tour. We talked about this briefly last week. The fighter games with a 7,000 quid for the winner. You've got a big cosplay Borderlands 10-year anniversary thing going on. There's tabletop games. There's a massive section of retro games to play. All the merch, you can go and meet the guys from Digital Foundry. Which is cool.
That'd actually be kind of cool. I would like to sit in on some sessions. I think that also is always an interesting component to these types of shows where you can just hear the developers talking or hear some of the insiders, that kind of thing.
Mm. Good idea if you're going to EGX that you preload. There's usually an app, and it's probably available right now. It shows you the show floor. It shows you what's on. Yep. You can set reminders, all that sort of stuff. Good to sort of plan ahead for those shows because most of those sit-down sessions with developers are usually well attended.
Can't believe you said you weren't excited for the Death Stranding experience.
I am. Death Stranding. Oh, yeah, that's new as well. I don't have that on my notes. As I said to some people, I can't remember who it was. It was probably a lie. I'll be first in the queue. I know. It was probably Teflon I said that to. No, or Tuscan. It would have been Tuscan I said that to. I will be first in the queue for Death Stranding.
Oh, definitely. God. I remember about 6-7 years ago, I think it was the last EGX at London at Earls Court before it went to Birmingham, and I was in the developer conference thing for Media Molecules for the Tearaway one before it came out on the Vita.
Yeah.
I looked because I was really excited for Tearaway. I got some tweets off Tuscan77 saying, "I've just seen you. You're in the conference," because he must have watched the live stream. That was so funny. So the cameraman must, because I was near where they were doing the questions and the cameraman caught me. So that was quite funny. I still got a little.
Some of the developer sessions, they aren't what they used to be.
The Rage one was
Nathan.
Good. You were in the Rage one, were you? I know Chinny was in Stu.
No, I was in it. We were cheering like mad for the weapons.
Yeah.
You remember that? I was especially going quite loud. Weapon! as I would. What do you call it? It's not the Nathan Fillion. The other, the voice actor.
Troy Baker?
The other one.
Nolan North.
Meeting Nolan North. The head of Sony was there 1 year. I remember meeting him and shaking his hand. Dave, the French guy, we've done the video for Duke.
David Cage.
Dave Cage. We're meeting him and doing a little video for Duke. and of course, the man who's going to make this tree to make it grow, and the game will be fantastic, and you'll see the tree change over years and years. Mr. Fable himself.
Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux. Yeah, so we've met some great people over the years. I don't think see any big hitters this year, but it's always those developer sessions are always interesting. You always pick up some wee interesting thing. It's like an inside track of, I never realized people had to do that.
Yep.
So it's an exciting few weeks. I'm extremely busy with this stuff, and I'm extremely busy with work. Unbelievable. It's always just bloody typical that, when this happens is these dates. We're a week ahead of schedule. No!
I didn't realize Greg was in London so early. I thought it was Thursday was going.
No.
I thought it was earlier, actually.
Is your Airbnb booked from Wednesday then when you get there?
No. We're
staying in a hotel.
Yeah, we're staying at a hotel. Mike, myself, and Pete are going to be staying at a hotel and
sharing
then
a single bed. Oh, yeah.
Sharing just one bed. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
You're going to be in a chinny sandwich.
Sounds dirty.
It will be.
Come on, Mike. That's like you got one ginger and one brown. And wow. That would be really. Oh, goodness.
Let's not go there. No.
So I don't know. Maybe Michael have picked, you know, you'll maybe go to a show or something like that there doing something. I have no idea what he has planned. We haven't talked about it. I give Mike a job to do because I think he was feeling a bit guilty about not organizing anything for London. So we would normally record
his job was to basically lead me around London.
Yeah. We would usually do a big group podcast every year. So Boss Wave and ourselves, as you're aware, we all do that. And I crazily, for the last guts of 10 years, in my hand luggage have brought mics and laptops and all the kit to record a podcast, which is crazy. So I've said, Mike, this year you're bringing all the equipment to record the podcast.
Okay.
So that's his job and looking after you and getting you well fed and watered. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see everybody.
Slightly getting nervous. I mean, in a good nervous, right? Like, I know it's like right around the corner. I can't believe it's next weekend. I will be at the airport bright and early. I fly out at 6 a.m. So that gives you an idea of how long that stupid flight's going to take. I fly out at 6 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
I land at 11:30 in your neck of the woods. So, but anyway.
You'll be flying probably over Greenland or over the North Pole sort of direction there, up and over. So you'll look down and see some nice ice flow, which is always a nice flow. It's always kind of cool to look
at. Most importantly, I will be traveling in a jet using jet fuel. Screw the environment.
You planted a tree. How
dare you?
Oh, goodness, Mark. Mark, that video. Sorry, Mark. Mark posted this video with Greta. And it's this guy going in the petrol station, gas station to fill up. And he opens a flap to put the pump in. And Greta's in there going, how dare you?
That
made
brilliant.
Me laugh so much. Really good.
Oh,
God bless her. Oh, dear.
Greg,
do me a favor. Greg, do me a favor, Greg, will you?
Yes.
Do me a favor. If I can ask you to bring some stuff, I can't do that. If I ask you to do me a favor, there's going to be a whole impeachment inquiry. You'll never get over here. So don't do me any favors at all. Carry on.
I cannot neither confirm nor deny the existence of items that I will be packing from the California West Coast to Ireland.
Their presents. Christmas presents.
My list will be on it.
We'll talk about that, actually. That's actually a thing. So I've asked Greg to pick me up. I'm sure the kids aren't listening. Two Nintendo
devices.
Switch.
Just device.
Yeah. All right. The light ones.
Cat's out of the bag now.
Doesn't matter. One yellow and one a shitty teal color.
I think I like the teal better than the yellow, but you know.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they both fetched a good price on eBay, so.
It's working out, Mark, about £60, maybe a bit more cheaper.
Right.
Yeah.
For the pair.
Even with
just
even
you don't
with
get
tax.
Stung for the import duty.
They're coming over as presents.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be
they're packed in my bag.
Right. Yeah.
most importantly, though, apparently the shopping experience has been opened up because not only is Robin asking me to carry these devices in my suitcase now, but now his wife is giving me shopping things to pick up. I'm like, I start getting things from the kids, I'm just saying. You know, we're going to have a conversation here because at some point there is a baggage limit weight, a weight limit.
Yeah. You're a mule. That's just the height of it.
Pretty much.
Just hold on to that. There's a guy, he'll meet you at the airport, and he's going to give you this parcel. You want you to carry it over for me. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay.
Don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Don't open the package.
No, any questions. Yeah.
Right.
No. I just carry it over for me. It's all right.
Yeah. All right. Let us move on.
Are you going to cover that right to walk event? Yeah.
Yes.
That's important.
I just want to get off the EGX stuff. So, Mark, was there anything you wanted to talk about?
No, boring week.
All right, boring week for you. Well, it has been a crazy couple of weeks for me. Not only did I turn 50, in the lead up to going to London and going to Ireland, my wife took on basically a volunteer role at my son's horse riding therapy ranch, which is called Ride to Walk. And so they had a big beer and wine festival yesterday. And I have to shout out my wife. She is not necessarily listening to the show, but right now she probably can hear me talking about this in the other room. But she just totally kicked ass. We had over 40 different gift bags that were donations from different organizations. They were donating goods, wine, sometimes it was food, you know, and she wrapped each basket herself. And these were big baskets. They were not just small little baskets. You were muted there, Mark.
Yeah, because we saw the pictures there. There were lots of them.
My office was slowly getting taken over by this, by the way. It was kind of comical. It started off with two little baskets in the corner. And next thing I know, I could not actually enter this office. The entire floor behind me was just covered in baskets. And they looked fantastic. And the event was last night. It went off more or less without any kind of hitch. There was some small controversy at the end of the night in terms of silent auction items. Drunk people get drunk, and then they start insisting that they were the one that should have won type thing. So that aside, we raised a ton of money for Ride to Walk. It was just well-received event, and we're super excited. In fact, you can see Cindy, if you do a Google search on Good Day Sacramento, look for a video about Ride to Walk. It's like 2 minutes long.
I've got one up from May this year. In California. Well, I'll find that one. Hang on a sec.
Yeah. But so my wife is in the background.
What's it called again? Sorry.
Good Day Sacramento and then Ride to Walk. And it should be – it was posted on Thursday, so like 3 days ago. It's these kids, you know, they all are suffering some kind of disability. Typically speaking, it's mental or, you know, a neurological disability, I guess, is the right way to put that. And they are challenged physically when it comes to movement and motion. And so the horse riding therapy just really helps with getting a better sense of movement for them. It's been a great thing. It's been a great thing for my son. And also just wonderful to be part of it. And so, yeah, that was that happened last night. And so we are done with it finally, thank goodness, because it was pretty exhausting leading up to it. We did not get to bed. I was kind of helping my wife, being kind of more or less like, what do you need me to help you with? And she would, you know, give me a couple little things to do, but she pretty much did everything. But, I mean, we were up till 2 a.m. Thursday night, Friday night, and she was staying up late. Even the nights before that, and then of course getting up early in the next days. So, yeah, big props to Cindy. Yeah,
good for her.
All right, let's transition. Let's get to video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Now, Robin, normally we have Kim on the podcast, and she covers kind of the monthly freebies. I would love for you to do your best Kim impression.
The yes. Cardinals won again.
Nice. Very nice. But all right, Robin, focus. I want you to channel your best inner Kim.
Yeah, yep.
Give us our monthly freebies.
Okay. So, on Games with Gold for October, the Cardinals beat the Bengals. And Tembo the Badass Elephant is yours. Friday the 13th, the game, is also yours. And Disney Bolt comes from the 1st of October to the 15th with Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge from the 16th to the 31st of this month of October. That's Games with Gold. PlayStation Plus is an absolute belter for October. Available from the 1st of October, The Last of Us. And it's been reworked, it's been remastered, it's been polished, it's yours if you're a subscriber to PlayStation Plus. And of course, the most boring game in the world, which isn't cricket, MLB The Show 19, is for you. They're trying to give it away because they couldn't sell it. Not in the UK anyway. Twitch Prime Games for October, The Walking Dead Michonne, Deadlight, a Director's Cut, Serial Cleaner, Stranger Things 3, The Game, and Adam Wolf are yours if you're a Twitch Prime or Amazon Twitch Prime subscriber. That's absolutely fantastic batch of almost free games for you!
That's it. Yeah, well done. Well done. It sounded totally like Kim, too. I mean, I cannot believe how much, like, just right there. Yeah. All right, Mark is sneezing. Therefore, Robin, I would like to hear your impressions of Detroit Become Human.
Robots. Shoot people. Detroit Become Human is a video game. And it's on the thing called the PlayStation 4. I have one of those, and I played it on that because it became free, as you may be aware, in last month's PlayStation or the month before that PlayStation Plus game. It's a one that has always interested me, and the way it plays, okay, it's a beautiful-ish looking game. It's set in Detroit. You are a robot, and it's set in the near future when robots are kind of slaves. If you think back to when Greg was a very young lad, when they had a housekeeper, and she was a large African lady who cooked his dinner and got onto a separate place on the bus.
When he was very, very young. Plantation. Is that old?
Yes.
Fairly.
So
fairly.
First impressions are it's about that. It's about that sort of putting people down. You know, people that are seen as inferior, which is not at all true, whatever. But it's tackling that subject between humans and robots.
Because they become sentient, don't they? They become.
Yeah.
They want to be classed as.
Spoilers.
What?
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. Yes, you're absolutely right, Mark. Yeah. But I haven't got to that bit yet. So the way it plays, it plays very beautifully, and it suits my lifestyle just at the moment because I'm unbelievably busy, and it's in little bite-sized chapters, which are maybe 5-10 minutes. The in between each chapter, it's very clever. It shows you like the flow chart of the choices that you could have made. Now you don't see the ones, but you see there were branching storylines there. And as you finish the chapter, it brings up this flow chart sort of thing as you progress. So that I think there's replayability. You can go back and see what else happened if you made different decisions. Now, where have I got in this? So what has happened is so far there has been a male and a female robot. I don't know if their robots are male and female, but they look like males and female robots. One is looking after a family, drunky sort of druggy man, a young girl, and then the other one is a guy who's looking after a rich artist, rich artist guy in a house. So the first thing has happened with the girl that she has decided that she's going to protect the little girl who's about 8 years old or 9 years old, somewhere around there, against an abusive father. And the other robot looking after the older artist guy, who is almost like a father-son. He has a son who's not happy that his father in a wheelchair loves this robot more than he seems to love him, even though he's a druggy, wannabe, give me more money, daddy, spoilt brat. So I've got to that point where things have happened and it's all about to kick off. So the robots haven't rebelled yet, but it's right, the start of it, and I see. Yeah. And right. it just seems like there's a really good story here.
There is. I really enjoyed it. Because I know the David Cage games get a lot of stick, the previous ones, but I was really impressed with this. And I got totally different storylines to Pete. Pete basically got everything really killed, but...
Well, I'm trying to play it like I would play it.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Sympathetic but a bit hard. Yeah. That would be me. I think you could describe me like that a wee bit. You know, sympathetic but, you know, tighten yourself up, boy, would be my sort of attitude to life. So, and it's there's not much game to it. You know, you move around a bit and you the controls are a bit funny. You know, you have to
rotate. Well, does it still use the tank controls from Heavy Rain? So still kind of that.
No.
They are improved. The moving about's not too bad. But like to open a door, you have to like move down and swish your stick. And there are a few instances where you have to use your QuickTime buttons in a sequence. They're not overly taxing, but if you do get it wrong, there are consequences.
Okay.
So, all right. But yeah, it's good.
But yeah, so it looks pretty. I'm already sort of bought into the characters.
Yeah.
Tell me, Mark, the guy, the chap that's the male robot, is he a real person in real life, as in the actor? Because he looks very
familiar. Yeah.
He is.
Later on, you'll meet the police android, not robot, Connor, who's on screen now.
Mm-hmm.
He works with a human police officer, and you'll recognise him instantly. He's a great actor. There's some big names
and the guy who played the artist, the older gentleman, sounds very, very much like the guy from, is it Aliens or
I don't know who it was, but he does have familiarity. And, it's all mocap to all this. It's all properly done with Bishop. Proper actors. Yes.
Who proper played Bishop? Production. Bishop in Alien, Aliens. Bishop.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, him. It sounds just like his voice. I must look it up. See if it's him or not. But
So
it has pedigree. It looks lovely. Greg, I was almost for buying you a PlayStation for your birthday, so you could play some of this stuff, but it didn't. But
that's okay.
But I think you know it's coming time now for you soon to buy a PlayStation.
The question
stuff like this is worth playing.
PS4, PS5, or just PS Now. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Robin,
that's me.
Yeah, I did send you a quick image of the actor from Detroit Becomes Human. So the actual image of him.
Oh, yeah. Who is that? Who is he?
See, that's what I was
I've seen him in so many different things, yeah. Okay, I'll look that up. You carry on.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Mark, we have a lot to talk about. Ironically, we could talk about two different games on our playlist.
Clancy
so,
Brown is a guy who plays a police officer.
Okay. Hmm. Abzu, you want to talk about Abzu? Let's get past Detroit Becomes Human. Let's focus on your game, Mark.
So
Abzu.
So I needed a bit of filler until Friday for the big release of this week, what I've been looking forward to. So a couple of filler games I've been doing. I did Abzu, put Abzu on. It's a Game Pass game, so it cost me the grand old price of zero because I'm already a Game Pass subscriber. So it was there, ready to download.
And
I don't know what to say about this, really. It's pretty. It's sort of interesting. It's a bit boring. So I don't know how to explain
it. Exactly like how I felt about Old Man's Journey.
So you're this underwater dude, and you're swimming about, and there's your usual marine life in there, and you can go sit on these dolphin totem things, and you can find some little underwater pool things. When you sonar beacon onto them, they release wildlife. I don't know what the point of it was. You go through different chapters, you do a couple of puzzles to open some gates, and I thought we're a bit... I know people rave about it, but I didn't find it that interesting, really.
You need to be high. If you're high to play this game, I played it. Yeah. You play it once, sort of sit through. Yeah. It's a fun experience. I don't understand why people went so bananas about it, because it just looks okay. It's nowhere near the same experience as the one with the wee guy with the scarf whizzing around through the desert.
Journey.
It's nothing like that whatsoever. So,
okay.
I don't know. It was a nice little swimming.
There were a few instances where you think, oh, that looks cool, where you saw, like, you can grab onto certain marine animals. And there was one bit where you grabbed onto a whale and it dived out of the water and splashed down again. That was cool. And you get an achievement for that. And so, I'll be honest, I did follow a bit of a guy because I wanted all the full 1,000 achievements. And that might have detracted from me enjoying this a little bit, because I just followed the guide and just ploughed my way through it. But that was my intention anyway. I didn't really want to get that into it because it didn't really appeal to me, but it was all right. Kill time for about 3 hours, 4 hours.
Grey's Anatomy. That guy was one of the main doctors in Grey's Anatomy.
I knew he was a doctor. He played a doctor role. I couldn't remember what. All right. So Abzu, okay.
Just all right.
Yeah,
I'm not going to bother talking about Trials because I played in Trials. Let's talk about Dead Cells.
Yeah, so
what is about this game?
Yeah,
what is that?
Tim Chopper Kelly in the chat group, the Trials chat group, was on about this game, and he's asked for a bit of help from certain people and that, and he said it's a great game. You want to get yourself sort of like playing it, and again, Game Pass is killing it. So I downloaded this, and it's got a really nice graphical look to it.
It's an interesting graphical it is a 16-bit kind of look to it,
but it's very colorful for 16-bit.
They do a lot of different colors, but also one of the things I actually really love about this game is the lighting. They use shadow and lighting and casting of light really effectively, the lighting to me feels very modern, even though when you're looking at the characters, they feel very kind of retro. But the movement in this game, I think, also is part of what I really love. It's so smooth.
Yeah.
So smooth.
So it's a 2D hack and slash dungeon crawler, but it's roguelike. So once you die, that is it. You go right back to the beginning. But you do keep your coins. I think that's about it, and everything you've leveled up, but all your weapons and everything else you lose, don't you?
You do.
You can die pretty easily in this game.
It has been known to happen.
Yeah. But it is really cool. Some of the enemies are quite good. On some of the later levels, there's some sneaky ones that just pop up out of the ground with, like, snail things, and like with a scorpion sting tail where you can fire stuff at you. It's good. And then on some of the later levels, there's also environmental hazards, like toxic pools, which you can't jump in because it, like, depletes your health really quickly.
Right, which is, and the premise of the game is you are a character who your head was, you were beheaded, basically.
Yeah, you were dead,
Right. And I haven't quite figured it out, but, like, some kind of, like, ooze or something comes and, like, inhabits your body and brings you back, reanimates you.
Yeah.
And I think the quest, and I could be wrong. I mean, I really don't know what my ultimate quest is, but I think my ultimate quest is to find my head.
Right. I don't know. I
could be wrong. Yeah. I don't know. I just have enjoyed what I've played so far. I mean, that's the story to me is kind of secondary to the gameplay in this one.
Yeah.
So, Dead Cells. You should check it out. If you have Game Pass, it will cost you nothing to check it out. And I know it's on other platforms, so, it's definitely worthwhile picking up, especially if you like those side-scrolling, 2D, RPG type games. This is definitely one for the ages in that regard. Ghost Recon Breakpoint. It came out this past week. It's had a very mixed reaction from the media. Some people are okay with it. Some people are really down on it. and I think potentially unfairly. I think this game is getting a bad knock for a few things that, while they're not ideal or the quote-unquote greatest, notes. We have lots of notes.
I've got lots of notes.
well, let's just kind of talk real quickly about the media reaction. I think this game is getting slammed a lot because, one, it is an always online game. You have to be connected online.
Yeah, even
to
single
play it.
Player, yeah.
Yeah. And it pretty much is a single player game. So, a lot of people are giving it, they're marking it down for that. There really isn't any reason why it needs to be connected when you are playing single player per se. But that's Ubisoft these days, yeah. And I have a hard time personally after having played through like. The Division 2, a game that also was always online connected, that this is something that I'm going to knock somebody for. The other thing that people were giving this a big knock on was all of the microtransactions, because apparently there are tons of ways for you to purchase weapon upgrades and skins and things of that nature. Ultimately, they have no consequence when it comes to the versus mode. So the multiplayer, they basically certain types of upgrades that you can purchase are disabled when it comes to the online multiplayer, and the actual in-game currency and stuff, it's all stuff you can get in-game, So yeah. I'm not sure why there's this big outrage for it when the reality is you can get everything you can quote unquote buy in the game. And pretty easily, the currency in this game feels like it's pretty lucrative. I'm never struggling with finding new weapons and new items.
Nope.
So,
in fact, I find it hard keeping the same weapon for more than 20 minutes before you find another one that's even better and you're swapping it. That happens a lot.
Yes. Yes. So let's talk about the actual game, Mark. I know you have a bunch of notes. This is basically Ghost Recon Wildlands, except for...
It's right. Imagine Ghost Recon Wildlands, The Division, with a combat of Rainbow Six Siege, all had a threesome and had a baby. Would be the baby.
Got rid of your AI partners.
Yeah.
That's the key difference.
You can play as co-op, because I know Chinny's played with Marsh. He's done his co-op, but I've played it all single player.
No. But my point, Mark, is that in Ghost Recon Wildlands, you had a squad that you kind of controlled.
Yeah, you could give them orders.
But it was a pain in the ass. They would get stuck on things. And in fact, this is a perfect opportunity time for me to tell you why I deleted Ghost Recon Wildlands off of my hard drive.
Right.
Because I got a glitch with one of my stupid AI partners, where he kept saying the same friggin' thing over and over and over, and it was stuck to the point that even when I closed the game out and started it back up, he was still saying the same friggin' thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
So I just was like, I'm done. Well, and so not having that issue, I'm quite happy.
Yeah, so this is a huge open-world RPG-ish shooter. It's got RPG elements, which is what I'm really loving. It came out 3 days ago if you bought the super duper expensive versions, and it came out Friday for everyone else. Now, when it came out Friday, it had a few server issues for launch day, and it was down for a couple hours, and I spent the whole 2 hours watching the Ubisoft forums grow page by page, minute by minute, and some of the comments were hilarious.
I bet.
Yeah, people are about wanting refunds, wanting compensation for their lost vacation days. You can tell where they come from. It was just hilarious, but it was only off a couple of hours. But I'll go through the sort of like bad points initially, if I can.
Okay.
All right. So, ammo pickups. When you see ammo pickups in the game, the character tends to pick up constantly. He's up and down constantly of its ammo box. Instead of just picking up once, and if there's an item next to it, like there's a lot of investigation items similar to Wildlands, where it'll give you hints of where certain things are, weapons, points of interest, camps, these little camp places called let me get this right, Biwaks, but it's spelled funny French word, B-I-V-O-U-C or something. But of course, it's pronounced Biwak. So is it, okay. These tent-free camps, I looked it up. So if you want to get one of these investigation things, trying to click on that while he's constantly trying to pick up bloody ammo, and he's constantly grabbing at ammo, it's a fucking pain in the ass. It's frustrating. But it's just a little thing. I'm sure they'll fix it. Same with the motorbikes. There's a lot of vehicles in the game, but some of the motorbikes, when you try to ride them, you hold X to click ride, and it'll climb on top of it, it'll walk round it, it'll just sit there for a bit, and you will not get on the fucking bike for ages. You have to be in the right position for him to get on the bike. Right. But once he's on it, it's fine. Again, early day, little niggle, it can be fixed. It's not major. The steep hills in this are annoying, because you roll down them, but when you roll down them, for him to control himself, he uses all his stamina up. As soon as his stamina's used up, he rolls and injures himself, and it happens a lot. And you can't go up them neither. You struggle right. Going up them. And like I say, there's been a few server issues. On Saturday night, I was playing, and all of a sudden, when I was aiming my weapon or using the binoculars of a drone, it wouldn't mark enemies. I thought, what's going on here? It's not marking. Have I done right. something in the settings? What have I done here? And I've tried everything and I couldn't get it to work. I restarted the game and I went to look online to see if anyone else reported it. And I found a few people reporting it and it was a server side issue. It's because a lot of this campaign is run on their servers.
Got it.
So it was their server issue. It came back on after about 20 minutes. So those are the little downsides. But the good side is, I've played a lot of this game. I mean, a lot. I am XP level 26. I am gear score 137. Okay. There's four different classes, which is cool. So when you create your character, you can pick a class with your first skill point. My first one, I went for Panther, which is like semi-stealth, more right. submachine gun and sniper-ish, DMR-type build. There's an assault class, which is all out, sort of like full frontal bloody tank. There's a sniper class. And then the last one, I can't remember what the last one is. Can you remember, Greg?
I don't remember what the last one is. I can look it up while you're talking.
Yeah. So the first one, the Panther class, each class has 10 levels in it. And for each level, there's like four or five challenges. So it'll be kill so many enemies with a submachine gun. And then one of the other ones will be, you have to complete all four of these to get to the next level. And you get little rewards for doing these. And then one of them will be kill 3 enemies within 10 seconds. Kill 20 enemies without dying. Kill 10 enemies without reloading. And these I found really, really cool. You can pin them on your menu, on your HUD. So you can pin these and it'll count them off as you go along. So I completed all 10 of the Panther ones today.
Okay.
And I started the Assault one and I'm up to level 7 on the Assault. So I've hardly touched the story. I've just done these challenges and I've done a lot of side missions.
Okay, so it's Sharpshooter, Panther,
yeah.
Assault,
yeah.
And Field Medic.
Field Medic, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're drunk and do your healing and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Gameplay. The gunplay on this is one of the best shooters I've played. I just love it.
Yeah.
It just feels so good. I've never had headshots feel so satisfying when you connect with a headshot. The noise and you just get a single shot off of a DMR, poof, head explodes. It's just so satisfying. It's absolutely brilliant. And all the weapons are really good. Even the shotguns, close range, they are lethal, one shot and they're down, like you'd expect in real life, not like some of these shooters where you have to mm-hmm. bullet sponge them. Like the Division's a bullet sponge, this isn't.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, there's a few enemies in this where they are big armoured heavy units, but if you know how to take them down, you can get them down in 2 shots.
Right.
Have you come across these enemies yet, Greg? The big dudes with the massive miniguns?
Not with the massive miniguns, no, not yet. Yeah. I've experienced the soldiers with the helmets, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's
all you have to do. One shot, helmet off, next right. shot, headshot, and they're down.
And one, not to belabor on complaints, but I think one of the things that was getting knocked for was they introduced gear score.
Yeah.
But gear score in this game feels a bit meaningless in so much that even the most basic weapons still are lethal, one-shot, headshot lethal weapons. And so it kind of feels like this gear score might just be more kind of fluff as opposed to actually meaningful within the game.
I think it is because as your gear score goes up, the enemies' levels, they've got a little number beside them, they go up. My enemies are now on 110. So I think there's sort of like dynamic leveling on the enemies. So, yeah, it is a little bit pointless that way. I think they've done it so that you can only unlock... There's a raid, a bit like Division. You unlock at 100, so I've unlocked that now. I've not tried it. So I think that's how why they've done some of that. There may be other reasons in future, because it is a game service type game, this one, so there will be a lot of things to implement on the what they call the roadmap. Four classes, done that. Loot. There's a shit ton of loot in this game. Nearly every enemy you take down, it'll either drop ammo, it'll drop credits, which is what you use to purchase new weapons and everything, and vehicles, and sometimes they'll drop gear, whether it be clothing or weapons, and these are your standard, your white drops are your standard articles.
Right.
You've got blue, which is the advanced. You've got purple, which is the rares, and then you've got yellow, gold ones, which are the elite stuff. And okay. I'm pretty much all purples now, and I've got quite a few yellow ones now. So the more you progress into the game, the more you get these higher sort of like rate drops. Really good range of vehicles. There's some really cool armored vehicles with gun turrets on, but you need two people to operate them. Otherwise, you've got to jump out the driver's seat, run around the back into the gunner seat. But there is one vehicle which is a little armored vehicle, two-seater vehicle, and it's got a remote control turret on the top. And all you do is, when you're in the driver's seat, if you press B to switch seats, you go into the passenger seat without getting out, and you can control the turret. And this turret has got like a, not like a 50 cal, it's more like a grenade launcher on the top. Oh man, that is so good to use. First time I used it, was three guys stood by a motorbike. The vehicles in this game, they must be shite, because everywhere you go across the map, there's always some enemies at the side of a road, broken down, fixing either the motorbikes or the trucks. But yeah, so I came across these three dudes, and I used this remote control turret on the top of the vehicle, blew them up, and they went bodies went flying everywhere, ragdolling. It was just so good. I just cheered, and Jenny started shouting, "What's up, what's up?" It was just so good. It was just such a good feeling. Crafting. You can collect loads of plants in the wilderness. You also can dismantle your weapons, what you don't need anymore, and you get weapon parts, machine parts, metal alloys, clothing, you get fabric and everything. And then you can use these to craft upgrades for your weapons. And you can also, when you're at these BWACs, you can craft new medical supplies, food rations and everything, because these can give you buffs, just like an RPG would. So there's a lot of depth to the game. And these BWACs, you can fast travel between them as you've unlocked them. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them in the world.
I mean, it's the standard open world stuff when it comes to that.
When you're sat in a BWAC, before you leave it, you can give yourself a bit of a buff. You can eat, which gives you 40% injury resistance. You can read some intel, which gives you a 10% XP boost for the next hour. There's other little things like that, so that's cool. And while you're in the BWAC, I don't know how they do this, but you can buy and sell stuff. There's no merchant there, but you can buy and sell stuff.
Right.
And you can craft. And you can also summon a vehicle you've already purchased.
Well, basically, it's the equivalent of the safe house
in Division. Yeah, absolutely.
The Division. Yeah. I mean, and maybe that is, you know, this game does ape a lot of different things from the Division, from Wildlands, from, you know, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Even you know, it does pull in a lot, and maybe that maybe that is, in a sense, kind of a knock, because I don't think they needed all of this. I think they had at the core the core idea of this game, which I loved, which was, you know, you're taking kind of that Wildlands environment, but you're actually pushing the survival aspect of it more. And unfortunately, they don't really do that when you start the games. They give you an option of going guided mode or not guided mode, kind of depending upon your level of difficulty.
Yeah, they did that in Assassin's Creed, didn't they?
Yeah. This game really, I think, rings true when you take it off guided mode.
Yeah.
Don't have the map even dynamically putting icons up for you. You know, this map will have like a little question mark in a corner when you get close to it or something that, you know, you say, oh, I can go explore there. But I think the real beauty of this game is when you are given a job to do and you're looking at this map with just really kind of the basic knowledge of there's roads to get to it this way, you know, and that's it. And you set out and you discover stuff and you ultimately are also very fragile because you can also, you know, turn on the survival components to it, you know, needing to heal yourself because you might, you know, if you jump down too far, you hurt your leg, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm playing it on normal. There's four levels. There's easy, normal, intermediate, and hard. On the normal, you can get injured. So you've got like four sections of your health bar. If you get injured, you'll lose one or two of them depending on how severe your injury is. So until you heal that, you won't fully regen your health, and also it impedes your mobility, so you'll be limping away. And if you're swamped by enemies, which in some of the like larger camps, you can easily get swamped. I've died a lot. Trying to get away with an injury is really difficult.
Yeah, visually this game looks great. By
it's
the way,
gorgeous.
It's a pretty game. There is some niggles with the HDR. Again, I feel like this game could have used like an extra month of polish to just get some of these additional glitches taken care of.
I text you, didn't I? When you use night vision for me on my screen, the night vision is it's too bright. You can't see anything. But even at nighttime, I can see everything anyway. And I'm using the default brightness. If I lower the brightness in the settings, it just doesn't look right. So I'm just living with it.
Yeah. And I feel the same way. It's like in night mode, there's really no need to use night vision because you can pretty much see everything just fine. There is a heat vision mode you can unlock. That actually is a little more useful than the night vision. But, you know, visually, really nice. Shooting is on point. It feels good playing this game in terms of the controls and the shooting aspects of it.
The
story?
I was just going to say, just before you go into the story, because I've hardly touched the story, I've only done about three or four story missions. There's so much to do in this game. There's something going off everywhere you turn. I mentioned all these like people breaking down. These are like random encounters, but there's shit tons of side missions and sites you come across. You can just go in and each site has got like chests you can open, and then once you've opened all them, you clear that site. There's just tons to do besides before you even get onto the story.
Yeah, I mean, it let's face it is a typical Ubisoft open world game. Yeah. They flood you with things to do.
Yeah, just like Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yeah, there's just shit tons to do in that. But I've not got bored at all yet.
No. I think for me, if I was going to put a score in this game so far, let's talk about story real fast.
Yeah.
The story seems okay. I like the way they intro the game.
Yeah.
And I won't spoil it. You know, let you experience it, but it's not the cliche kind of intro of what I expected, which was there's kind of trouble, and you've got to, you know, you're going after this bad guy. It's not that at all. So I like the way they started the game. The voice acting is okay.
The main characters, the voice acting is good, but it's got your typical Wildlands cheesy voice acting for the normal AIs. Your usual, it's over here, and all this crap. It's so cheesy.
Yeah. Agreed. At least you don't have your dumb AI partners with you. that, again, thankful for that. But if I was going to put a score to this game so far, I think it falls right around a 7.5, 8, somewhere in there for me. And that's a lot to do with the glitches and the bugs right now. They're still needing to be ironed out. I think there's something really good at the core of this game. I just think that they possibly rushed it out a little bit. Maybe they needed to take a little more time to polish it.
Well, there's another big shooter coming out in a few weeks, and you think they wanted to... I think they've wanted to beat that to market, to be honest.
Very well could be. Very well could be.
Call of Duty,
Yeah.
But, yeah, despite the bugs in this, I am hooked, completely hooked into this game. It's going to swallow a lot of my time up, is this? It already has done.
I was just going to say, it already has.
Yeah, Saturday night, it's about 1, 2 a.m. already, and I just wanted to get this side mission done. It wasn't even a main mission. And the side mission was to hack a computer, but it was inside a drone production facility, which was heavily armoured, lots of enemies. It even had, it's set in near future, so there's a lot of like mechanised drones, automated drones, which are also, some are mortars, which are devastating, some are machine guns, and some are flying ones with little miniguns. So I had to wipe all these out to make it safe before I can hack this computer. And then when you hack the computer, four armoured vehicles full of soldiers come and try to shoot the computer, and the computer only takes two or three hits, and it's done, and it's mission failed, you've got to start again.
Right.
I must have tried.
Well, those are those kind of missions where it's like, that'd be better in co-op.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Where having extra people is going
to
be better.
I was saying to Mike Chin, that's definitely a co-op thing, because I must have failed 8 times. 4:30 in the morning, I finally did it and went to bed. I wasn't going to bed till I'd finished it. And then Chinny texts me, and he was saying he was on while 3 a.m., but he's played it all in co-op with Marsh.
So if you were going to kind of put a score to this game so far, where would you come in at?
8.75 at the moment.
Okay. All right.
Nearly
there you
9.
Go.
Yeah. Once I sort out the bugs and glitches, it'd be a 9, 9.5.
All right. Well, let us trudge forward. Mark, I believe we're right about time for a quiz, and this is the Let's Get Caught Up to Kim quiz.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to rumble!
What's that noise?
Yeah, audio quiz time again. So we've got 3 audio clips for you to guess what the game it's from. You get 2 guesses. Your first guess is without any clues. If you get it right, you get 2 points. If you need a multiple choice, you get 1 point. Now,
can I just say, yes? I'm so disappointed I was not on the podcast last week, because all of those, I was like, oh.
And then, you know them all. They're quite easy last week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the final one was that was
yeah, it was so good. If you haven't seen or heard that, you need to listen to last week's question 3, Robin's reaction, classic
thing of beauty. Thing of beauty.
I don't understand. Don't understand.
Right. What was worse, Robin, is your reaction completely gave it away.
Yeah, Kim.
Else.
As soon as you did that, Kim instantly knew what game it was.
I'm not a good poker player.
All right. Mark,
so they all the sound clips this week are from retro games.
Okay.
Scraping the barrel now. I'm getting. I need some more ideas on what to do. But yeah, so these are all retro games. So we'll get straight into it. Here is question number 1.
Round 1.
Oh, look of puzzlement on your faces. That is not the game, Robin, but yes, I am. any ideas? Done it again?
Sure, play it again.
I thought it was
sort of
easy.
Sounds like a thing, but I don't think it is a thing.
Yeah. It's a menu music, this.
Right.
Menu selects music. I could have picked a different bit of music, but it would have given it away instantly. I'll give you the sort of like genre. Yeah. It's SNES Mega Drive.
Sorry, I just want to sort of get the age limit. Yeah. Are we back in the arcade games in the 80s?
SNES Mega Drive era, yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I'm going to be absolute shit at this. I never owned a SNES.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Let's just give us our choices here. Robin's choice, your choices are A, Final Fight, B, Punch Out, C, Super Street Fighter 2, or D, Super Mario Brothers.
Choices again, please.
Final Fight, B is Punch Out, C is Super Street Fighter 2, and D is Super Mario Brothers.
Well, I don't know. It's pure another guess.
Robin?
It was a process of elimination, and I think I eliminated properly, but I may not have. I don't know.
Right.
You're using your mental ability, are you?
We have a winner. And that winner is Robin. It is Super Street Fighter 2.
Totally.
Yeah, Super Street Fighter 2 on SNES. Yeah, that was the main menu music. Well done, Robin. One point.
I use logic.
Question two.
Round two.
This is easy. I love this music. Oh, you don't know this? I'll give you a clue. Chris Williams will be wetting himself right now. No?
Wait, hold on.
I thought that was so easy. Mind you, I played a lot of it. Again, SNES, Mega Drive, that sort of era.
I'm spelled that correctly.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Right.
Come on.
An answer from Greg. Robin?
Mine's not going through for some reason.
You're both wrong. I thought this was so easy. Chris Williams will be shouting at his podcast device of choice saying, "You stupid wazzocks." Right, is it A?
I thought it was Samantha Fox strip poker.
Final Fight. B, Streets of Rage. C, RoboCod. Or D, Sonic the Hedgehog. A, Final Fight. B, Streets of Rage. C, RoboCod. Or D, Sonic the Hedgehog.
I think I know Chris Williams well enough.
Yeah.
I think.
And that was a massive clue. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a massive clue. Thanks for giving that away.
Sorry. Again, I don't know what's going wrong here, but there's a wee clock on this thing.
Robin doesn't get an answer. Sorry. Robin is
not connected. Hold on. I don't know why. Hold on.
You are definitely.
You got it?
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah. And again, Robin is correct. It was Streets of Rage.
Yeah,
never played Streets of Rage on the Mega Drive, Greg?
No, I didn't have a Mega Drive.
Wow.
Have you never slept with Chris McWilliams?
No.
Never slept with Chris McWilliams in the same room?
I have.
That's how I know this stuff.
But also, speaking
He uses that music for the news on Bosswave, so you obviously don't listen to Bosswave either.
They like their retro games.
Yeah,
the
one
thing I don't like retro games.
I must admit, I'm not one for retro games. Right, question three.
Today I feel like playing.
I
press three.
I know that one.
I press three on my keyboard because I said question three. What a plonker! Right, here we go. Proper one.
Final round.
When I was making this quiz, my son was here, and as soon as that played, he knew instantly what it was. I've never heard of it. Not the music. I've heard of the game, but... right, I've got an answer from Greg. Any ideas, Robin?
No. Sorry, no.
Nope. Right, well, Greg, sadly, you're wrong. The options are... Pokemon, yeah, Pokemon Red or Blue. B, Donkey Kong Country. C, Mega Man. Or D, Golden Axe. A, Pokemon Red or Pokemon Blue. B, Donkey Kong Country. C, Mega Man. Or D, Golden Axe.
Oh. Okay.
Got an answer from Robin.
I'm sticking with my answer.
Right, and what is your answer? C.
Yes.
Mega Man. Right, no, you are both wrong. It was Pokemon Red or Pokemon Blue.
Really? I should have known that with Jay being younger.
Yeah, yeah, on the Game Boy. Yeah, Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue. Well, Richard Webster will be shouting at you both now as long with Chris Williams.
No, no, I never had a Game Boy.
No, I didn't. My lad
also,
did, though.
You'll have
Pokemon.
11 of them next week.
Pokemon games are fucking shit.
Pokemon's
right. Dance. So Robin scores 2 points and Greg scores zip.
That's a big goose egg.
Yeah.
Look at me go.
Yeah.
Robin's on 15 Mark. Now. You're welcome.
Thanks for that.
You should have been here last week. You'd have got 6 points.
I know. Fucking retro games. Yeah.
Kim's still way ahead, but.
I know. Kim is crushing it. Oh, you know, by the way, Robin, again, only yourself to blame for that. You would be 2 points closer had you not had your spastic Assassin's Creed, you know, Aliens Colonial Marine meltdown.
Yeah, as soon as a guy says, it's bad, it's really bad, and you go, cunt.
Yeah.
Just sad people. Just no taste whatsoever.
Right.
No vision.
While you
no,
start the news, no. I'll do the jingle, and I'm going to have to disappear because I need a wee.
All right, you go be. We will take care of the news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, Robin, there was quite a bit of news this past week. And it's a big like news pieces. Not something I expected, to be perfectly honest. This time of year, usually it's just a lot of new games, not a lot of news. But out of the blue, we see a tweet from Sony saying, with great emotion, we say goodbye to Sean Layden as he's leaving Sony. That's it. Nothing else. No explanation. We wish him the best on his future endeavors, and he's just gone. And just out of the blue, I mean, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, maybe this was planned. It doesn't sound like it was planned. It sounds like this is something that kind of caught everybody off guard. But yeah,
Sean Layden's almost 60.
Yeah,
so maybe if he decides to leave Sony,
right? He's just hanging it up.
I'm sure he's made his money. You know?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. But I mean, they don't have any kind of successor plan. They haven't talked about who the successor to Sean Layden's going to be. Usually you get that kind of announcement. You'll get the, you know, Sean is stepping down and so-and-so is going to be taking their spot. None of that.
Well, they're saying there was possibly internal crap going on with the SIE president, Jim Ryan, over just restructuring and just the globalization of Sony. So, maybe there was one too many roosters, something like that.
Yep. We shall see. We shall see. I don't expect this to really impact too much in the immediate future, but it'll be interesting to see who heads up Sony moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose Jack Tretton was, he seemed to be there forever sort of thing. You know, he was always that guy. He was brilliant, and we always sort of knew that familiar face who looked like the guy that owned the arcade and Noah's Arcade and Wayne's World. He always had that look about him. I'm thinking it'll be all right.
Well, I mean, the funny thing, if you think about it, last year at the Video Game Awards, they had this great moment where Sean Layden, Reggie Fils-Aimé, and Phil Spencer are all on stage together. And now, basically a year later, Reggie and Sean Layden are no longer with their companies.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't Reggie retire?
Please move on.
He didn't move on. I thought Reggie retired.
Yeah. Reggie decided to retire. Sean very well may be retiring. He may have just said, you know, I'm done. Who knows? We honestly just don't know.
I always found him a bit weird, personally. I've never got to like him. Not like Jack Tretton. Jack Tretton was like your granddad, wasn't he? You just liked him instantly. But Sean Layden were a bit funny character.
I'd also say,
just looking at his record, he's been there for over 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's a long time.
Put in his time. Well, you know, hey, we will look forward to. I'm sure we will find out who the new head is soon enough. I'm sure they will make that announcement. They got their EGX, not EGX, the place, the PSX. I think that's coming up. We'll see. We shall see. Other big news, big announcement about Red Dead Redemption 2. It's going to be on Google Stadia at launch day. Yeah.
Mine is due here in just a couple of weeks' time, just after EGX, actually, when my Founders one will arrive. So I'm quite interested in this, actually.
Yeah. No. That's really kind of all the big news I think we heard about Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, other than I think they said they might come to PC as well, but who cares about that? So, you know. No,
come on.
I know. I'm taking the piss. Red Dead Redemption 2, the big news actually was it is coming to PC. We already knew it was coming to Stadia.
Coming pretty soon as well.
Yeah, it's November 5th, going to be out on PC. Richard Webster was calling it all weekend long, saying they're not going to, you know, announce this at this, you know, launcher for Take-Two and not have Red Dead Redemption 2 coming to PC. So sure enough, it is here. Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC, November 5th. Congratulations, you finally get to play one of the greatest games ever. There you go. I said it. I did. Sony, they said, hey, cross-platform play, we are totally good with it now. They've opened the doors to it for all games. They said that basically all multiplayer access will be available to all developers. And then on the heels of that, they also gave a price cut to PS Now, their streaming service. So it no longer costs you $20 a month. They reduced that price basically in half. So it's now $9.99 per month. Or I think you can buy it for $60 a year for the full year, something like that. More importantly, they have first-party titles available on PS Now that you can play through your PC. So they announced that God of War and Uncharted 4 and GTA 5, as well as Infamous Second Son, will all be available until January 2nd. I do think it's interesting that they are shuffling titles in and out of PS Now, especially first party. It seems like they would just have them in there, but okay.
I find this really interesting that they're doing this now, and it's been too long. It's great that they're doing it now, but this is obviously, in my mind anyway, is a real reaction to what and how strong the Microsoft offering is at this moment in time.
Let's not forget Stadia also. That's coming as well. I think they're feeling pressure from the streaming side of it. So,
yeah.
I'm going to say, let's not overlook the cross-platform bit.
That's a huge step.
We've just started playing the latest update from PUBG, and we now can play with PS4 players, can't we? You get a little symbol next to your name telling you what system you're on, which is really cool.
All right, very good. So is this as well, did I read this incorrectly or correctly that this is just streaming or is there some part of this is download?
PS Now does allow download.
It
does allow download now. So you can download Game Pass. So, I mean, that to me is kind of the best of both worlds. And certainly I want to see that come to Game Pass because I do think there are times where having that instant streaming situation is ideal, especially if you're traveling, you're at a hotel, whatever, you want to be able to, you know, you have a decent enough connection, maybe you can jump on and play through your laptop.
xCloud.
Exactly. But, this is good. This is a good step for Sony.
Pro tip as well.
you don't need a PS4 to play these games. You can use PS Now on a PC.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other big kind of component to this, because they had had this PS Now on PC actually last year, but there were no first party titles in that offer. It was all just third party, second party. And now, of course, they are bringing some of their first party titles into the PS Now from this generation. You could play PS3 games, but they didn't have anything that was really current. Yeah. So now they've got God of War in there. They've got Uncharted 4. You know, hopefully we'll see more of that. I want to see them get competitive with this.
And don't quote me on this, but I think these games, especially like the God of Wars and that, don't you need your DualShock 4 connected to your PC to play these?
You do need a DualShock 4 to play on the PC.
But small price to pay if you've got a PC,
Yeah. I mean, that could be, honestly, the way to get around buying a PS4.
Mm.
All right. Another big announcement from this past week, not necessarily gaming related, but I found this interesting because it has gaming implications. Microsoft had a big event in the middle of the week, and they announced two new devices out of the blue for next year. So they're coming in holiday 2020. The first was the Surface Duo, which is their new basically phone. I don't want to call it a Windows phone, and I'll explain that in a second.
They don't call it a phone.
Right, they just call it the Surface Duo.
Yeah.
But it is a basically a phone.
Yeah.
And then there's the Surface Neo. Now, both of these devices are foldable devices, similar to the Samsung Fold phone, except for they actually use hinges as opposed to just the one screen. They actually have separate screens.
Yeah.
So the Surface Duo, the phone, the big interesting part about this is it's not running on Windows. It's running on Android. That is a very, very big concession, and I think a smart concession by Microsoft, because quite honestly, their Windows operating system for phone just never took off.
Nah. Android, I had one, and it was a nice phone, but just there just wasn't the apps or the support.
Right.
So that was the letdown.
So this way, they've got their different applications. Their Microsoft applications all run on Android. So that bodes well for the Surface Duo as being a device that can potentially actually get traction. And then the Surface Neo, this device to me is kind of cool. So it's basically, again, two iPad tablets, if you will, put together on hinges. So you can fold them together, close it, or you can actually flip them around and have your screens on either side. It also has a keyboard that's magnetically attaches to the bottom screen. And depending upon where you slide the keyboard, it makes use of the additional screen on the bottom screen. So if you had texting.
Is that also running Android, or is that running Windows?
That is running on Windows. That is a Surface, a proper Surface device.
Because as you know, I've been driving Surface machines now for 4 or 5 years now. I have a Surface Pro 3. Mm-hmm. I've never upgraded. I went on the iPad Pro now. But that's really interesting to me if that is running full Windows as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, it is all a full window. And again, this keyboard. So if you slide it up, the bottom half of the keyboard becomes your trackpad. And if you slide it down, you'll have shortcuts at the top. So like emojis, whatever you wanted, if you were, say, you're on a WhatsApp, your emojis would fill that top screen. It could be different shortcuts for different programs you're running. But I thought that was a very ingenious way of having that keyboard there, but still making use of the other screen.
Neat devices.
Yeah, no prices as far as we know yet. So I can't imagine they're going to be cheap. I have a feeling they're going to be quite expensive. But something to look forward to for holiday 2020. And that is the news.
Excellent. New releases?
I think we should do them. Robin? I keep forgetting we don't have Kim.
from the 28th to the 4th, 20th of September to 4th of October, which is last week.
These didn't get it.
I really hope you enjoyed them.
Yeah. We enjoyed them. I'm enjoying Ghost Recon Breakpoint. We'll pad for time while you look up the new ones.
Right here.
Yeah. Weather's nice this week.
September. Not in its rain. October. Shit. So, This
all
is
right,
the
so I got
about. Okay, so we got we've got Atlas on Xbox One and PC on October the 8th, Concrete Genie, PlayStation VR, PlayStation 4, Indivisible, PlayStation 4, Xbox One and PC on the 8th, John Wick Hex on PC and Mac on October the 8th, Trine 4, wow, The Nightmare Prince, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, PC, pretty much everything, Yooka-Laylee, The Impossible Lair, I think that is... Is that a new game or is that an add-on?
Don't know.
Again, on everything, on also October the 8th, Asgard's Wrath.
A new expansion.
You have Asgard's Wrath on the Rift on October the 10th. Doraemon, The Story of Seasons on the Switch and PC on October the 11th. Grid, that's like a complete reboot on everything, including Stadia, on October the 11th. And then we have Killer Queen Black on Switch and PC on the 11th. Children of Morta on October the 15th. We're into the following week then. So that's what there's, things are starting to happen there. Things are starting to happen.
Yeah, good stuff coming.
Is it just me or how can things release on Stadia when Stadia is not released?
So they wanted to make sure that everybody knows these titles are going to be on Stadia at launch. Yeah. So this is their way of saying, hey, it's launching today, but when Stadia comes out, it'll be there as well. But I'm with you.
Yeah. Robin, when do you get your I'm a Sucker bundle?
I think it's the first week of November or something like that. I'm a Sucker bundle arrives. Yeah.
Love it.
The rest of us will just use it for now.
I just put my expenses in. Don't worry, I'll get my expenses back, Rick.
I very well may be jealous. Gave up.
They have the controller looks quite neat, actually. And
Who knows? I may be getting Stadia. You never know. You know, if it really bears out well, who knows? This may be kill both Sony and Xbox for the next console generation. You never know.
Strong words. Strong words.
Yeah. But if you talk to anybody from Google, they think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no. Maybe next gen, but not this gen. Atlas, is that out already this week? That looks quite neat, doesn't it, Atlas?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah, it looks quite good. That's the pirate game.
Yeah,
it's kind of it's at least looking right now. Everything I wanted Sea of Thieves to be, quite honestly,
at the at that Inside Xbox, we thought it was Sea of Thieves at first, didn't we? And then nope, it's Atlas. It looks really cool.
Yeah, full disclosure, I always loved the notion of Sea of Thieves, but I didn't care too much for the cartoony vibe. Mm. I didn't at all like the way they decided to handle combat in Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
I love the ship parts. I love the exploration. Love all of that. But I just felt like they missed the mark on certain things.
Yeah.
Atlas, I'm
next
hoping.
Step up. The one I've been waiting for, and God knows when it's coming, if it will ever come. I don't know if I've cancelled it. Is a Ubisoft one, Skull and Bones?
Yeah. I have a feeling that is in trouble.
Yeah. Well, but, you wouldn't think so, because the way they did Black Flag 4, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, they had to expand on that a bit, didn't they?
So here's my thinking. They came up with Skull and Bones, and they said, you know, we're going to have this game all about being on the ship. But every Assassin's Creed game has some kind of ship element in it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, well, what role does this other game really play? And people probably were like, oh, well, I'd love to be able to get out of the ship and go explore. And it's like, well, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I think just ultimately they were creating something that didn't necessarily have an actual place in the marketplace.
Mm.
But, oh, well. We'll see. Maybe it still comes out. Maybe it's fantastic. I'd love to think that would be the case. I also would love to talk about Trials Rising Challenge number 30. Mark, I hated this course.
Yeah.
Hated it. That first little jump area was critical to getting a good time or a bad time.
I played it once last week just to see what it was like, and I got a shit time. I didn't do a clean run. I crashed a couple of times. And after playing Breakpoint and thinking, do I really want to go back to that track? I thought, nah, fuck it. Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. So this week's track was ruined run. Yeah.
Yeah, I snuck in this morning to post a time. I did not have a time posted on this track at all. In fact, I couldn't find it at first. I'm like,
yeah,
where
I miss East. I thought we'd have finished now, but there's two tracks sneakily held over, but on the Middle East area of the map.
So I found it. Then I saw that Pete had a time. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
pretty
crap,
good time
I
as well.
Let, I can't not beat him.
Yeah.
I got to beat the ginger. So I set out to do it.
Yeah. I've let him beat me this week. I couldn't be honest.
And then I, after a good 40 minutes of trying to beat Martin, I gave up. That's all I'll say to that.
Yeah.
So we draw closer, my friend. We draw closer.
So this week's top 10. No one in spots 10 and 9. Kim mustn't have had time to have a go this week, neither. So in 8th place, and basically last, is me with 1 minute 18.013. In 7th place is Chubster999, who had a proper go, and he did it in 51.262. In 6th place, the Ginger One, Legit Chinny, 48.778. In 5th place is Greg, Murphy's Law, 47.729. 4th place, Martin C, 1984, with 43.636. Quite a big drop there. It must have hit one jump that you couldn't hit.
Exactly. Yeah. The very beginning of this was the key. If you nail the beginning part of it, you could bypass a whole bunch of nonsense, but you had to nail it.
So the usual suspects in the top three, but in what order are they? In third place, Womble MK3, 41.768. In second place, he's usually been our winner the past few weeks, but he's in second, Playing Skills, 40.764. And he's back on top form this week. Number one, Snoogans, 38.949. What a time. He's back with a vengeance.
Snoogans.
So the very last track, the last circuit we have not done on the map, it's been an incredible 31 weeks. 30 weeks plus one for the Ginger's track. Track number 31 will be Firebase Faceplant using a Rhino bike. Last track. Let's get everyone on there. I want a full leaderboard next week, people, for the last track. Everyone give it your 100% and we'll go out with a bang. And then we'll read out the final top 10 leaderboards, what Lewis has been kindly updating every week, which I never read out, which I should do, really. In fact, I'm going to give a rundown of that, what we've got so far.
Yeah, we can do it real quick. We can do that.
What's next? Right, so, pad for time while I scroll and scroll these messages. Where is it?
All right. No worries. I know Martin is nipping at my heels, which this week, I mean, he's going to be ever so close. We might be even tied at this point. I don't know.
Fucking hell, you're going to chat a lot in there. There we go.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So this is from last week's results. In 10th place is Scott Stubby with 26 points. 9th place, Kim Gamegirl, 27 with 49 points. In 8th place, the Legit Chinny with 76 points. 7th place is me with 90 points. I think I'll just keep my lead over Pete with this week's results. 6th place, Chubster999 with 92 points. I was catching him, but he's going to pull away from me now. 5th place, MartinC984 with 161 points. 4th place, Murphy's Law, 170. Is Martin going to catch you?
It's going to be close.
3rd place, Snoogans with 185. 2nd place, Playing Skills, 221. And Womble at number one with 224. That could change this week.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
So Lewis has been doing a fantastic job doing these leaderboards. So thank you very much for these.
Huge shout out to Lewis. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
And when we do our Gears of War 5 spoiler cast, he wants to be part of that. I promised him a spot.
We will slot him in for sure.
When you slackers get to finish it and get this podcast sorted. I know you finished it now, Greg.
I know. I was just going to say, am I finished it? All right. Speaking of going out with a bang, Robin, let's talk about victory achieved. Yeah.
Very special week. We have a winner this week. Victory Achieved is the competition that you enter for free just by finishing your games and taking a photograph of yourself and sending it off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag Victory Achieved. Yourself smiling. I've completed this game. Great. Well, once every 3 months, we put a name out of the hat, and they win money, £15 or $20 for a game for PSN, XBL, Steam, whatever you want it on. And we've already had two winners this year. And now we have another winner. And on the 20th of the 9th of this year, someone finished Gears of War 5.
What? That doesn't narrow it down a lot, does it?
No, really, that was a lot of people.
I graciously accept this. Oh, it's not me.
Scott Stubby, congratulations. Woo-hoo! You are a winner. Winner. Very good for completing your game. Mark will be in touch, and he will sort you out with whatever way you want your money. So, well done. Yes, it's fantastic. And this week, people finish games. Daniel Fletch, who's coming to EGX, going to see him there. He finished Life is Strange. John Mouse, he played with the robots and finished Detroit Become Human. Scott Subby also finished Halo Wars 2.
Ooh, I didn't even start that.
Mark Annex, he was in Abzu. Hardly Dan, we got bored with Days Gone, but got it finished. And Daniel also finished on the Switch, I believe, a little game called Donut Country. Well done, everybody. You're now in the draw for next time, which runs from now until the end of the year.
Is it Donut Country or Donut County? Pretty sure it's the latter. I could be wrong. I just want to make sure we give him proper
due. No, it's not a latter. It's a donut.
All right, fair enough. But I think it's Donut County. Anyway.
No, it's not a ladder. Not a ladder.
We're moving on. In fact, we're closing. Let's
we're
do it.
Do it, Bart.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved. Sorry. Getting ahead of myself. All right. If you have managed to get through this podcast, congratulations. You get a brownie point. Look, we are we're on every week, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. in Easter Island, 7 a.m. in Australia. Have a cup of Joe with us. Listen to the podcast. We're on twitch.tv. We're on Mixer. We're on YouTube. You can catch the audio version of the podcast usually the next day on iTunes, on Stitcher, pretty much any place you can download a podcast. You should be able to find us. So give us a listen. Write us a review. We do promise at some point we will go through our reviews. Maybe we'll do a culling and go back and find our favorite ones. Maybe even send out a prize. Who knows? But we do promise. That's something we're going to do. And it's because of this little audio tidbit that we're going to play right now for you that we need that.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Let's do our shout-outs. Robin, I was older first, Bongo the Sane. I think you should start us off.
Okay, well, let the old fella goes first. Yes, thank you very much.
Seniority first, then beauty.
Fuck's sake. Sorry, I forgot exactly what I was going to say. Sorry, who are you again? A big shout-out to Cinders. Cindy and Greg, congratulations on your wedding anniversary this week, as well as your birthday.
You. Yes.
Both of you. Also want to shout out Nick. I was having a chat with Nick earlier on this week on text back and forward. And can't wait to get back on the show. So, yeah, and hear you're doing well. So that's good. And my final shout out is to Adam Edwards from Midlife Gamer fame, Adamski. He's got on his fitness over the last few years. And he just finished today this thing called, or yesterday, called the Spartan... Spartan Beast.
Run. Yeah.
Spartan Beast. 3 hours, 34 minutes. He was 12th in his age category, which is
nice.
Pretty darn good. 3 hours and 30 minutes of anything physical is pretty tough going. He's raising money for that fantastic charity in the UK called Special Effect. You'll get to see these guys at EGX, Greg. Please drop him a few bob. I've dropped him a few bob. Go along. Look, search for Adam Edwards in Facebook. And he's feeling awesome on Facebook, I see right now. So give him some money and make him feel even more awesome. So that's it. Mark.
Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Kim for surviving being a roofer for the day and not falling off. Shout out to Pete. He's been a bit quiet recently, and I texted him the other night to check up on him, and he's just been really busy, but he's fine. He's doing okay. So, yeah, we miss you, Pete. Yeah, that's about it, really. Bit of a quiet, steady week for me this week. Big shout-out to Ubisoft for creating a great game, Breakpoint. I'll let you take us out, Greg.
Yeah, so first and foremost, Extra Life. It is coming up. It is something that we are, some of us are going to be doing. Yeah. This is just part of my crazy life. But yes, I officially signed up and confirmed I will be doing Extra Life. I know Kim also signed on to it. So I don't know if Robin, are you going to be doing Extra Life? Mark,
what's the
are
deal?
You doing November 2nd? November 2nd. Although they did say they're making concessions, I think, now, saying you can do it on a different day. You can choose your own date.
Whenever you do it, Greg, I'm going to do it, but I am doing it for a good friend of ours who's she was a friend of my late son's, and we've been friends for years, mm-hmm. and we've kept in touch, and she's got four kids now. One of them is special needs, Corey. Mm-hmm. He's got mitochondrial disease or something. He can't really do much. He's fed through a button.
Microchondrial.
Yeah. And she uses a respite house called Martin House in West Yorkshire.
Okay.
And they are desperate for fundraisers. So I've said to her this year, I will do my Extra Life this year, but I will raise money for Martin House. So, yeah, I need to start working on that and promoting that. So, yeah.
No, fantastic. You know, the Extra Life event, the special effects, all of these organizations, they're tremendous. Quite honestly, whoever you support, you know, you're supporting kids that need help at the end of the day. So I encourage anybody to get involved with one of these charities. You know, do something, be part of it. Don't sit on the sideline. You will feel so much better about life when you are part of something like this. All right. I want to shout out the two of you because, as always, it's fun podcasting with you guys. I want to shout out the people of Ireland and the UK because next week right now, during this time, right here, I will be on my way to invade you.
Yeah, and I'll be waiting at the airport for almost 12 hours, but it's just stage one.
Hell is it? Yeah. I do need to shout out my wife. Also, we did have an anniversary in the middle of the week, probably one of the funniest anniversaries we've had in a long time. We both woke up. We were like my brother-in-law had been here the previous week and stayed through until Monday. And Cindy walks out, and I'm in the kitchen making coffee for us in the morning. And she's like, "Hey," I'm like, "Yeah, happy anniversary." I'm like, "Oh yeah." We had both totally forgotten the anniversary was happening. We had so much going on. Fortunately for me, I actually had remembered, so I did have some little gifts for our anniversary already planned, and Cindy called me an asshole for that because she had not had time to do anything. So there we go. That's the loving ways of marriage. It happens. It happens. But
excellent.
That being
right,
said,
okay.
I'm excited.
I will see you next week, buddy.
Next week, yes. Robin, next week on Monday, please be at the airport. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to going and seeing you and getting a little trim.
Get your speedos on.
All right, Mark, play that funky music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.